Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast series on the history of Christianity in Africa. I am your host, Kasuba. In our previous episode, we looked at the origins of Christianity in Africa, particularly the establishment of Christian centers in North Africa. We explored the early presence of Christianity in regions like Numidia, Nubia, Ethiopia, and Egypt. Today's episode attempts to answer why Christianity is considered a white man's religion or an oppressor's religion. Let's note that, unlike the spread of Christianity in Northern Africa, where indigenous people were involved, the spread of Christianity in south of the Sahara had so much European influence. Most of the earliest records of the Christianization of Africa south of the Sahara is of the 14th century. So, the Portuguese embarked on a campaign of Christianizing the whole Atlantic coast of West Africa, and they gained control over the appointment of Roman Catholic bishops, clergy, and missionaries in West Africa by what was known as the Padroado effect. This system refers to the Christian movement brought under Portuguese patronage and is considered the precursor of evangelism south of the Sahara. In the 1500s, Dom Henrique, who was the Portuguese prince, also known as Henry the Navigator, was chosen and installed as a bishop of Utica. Utica is considered to be the oldest Phoenician settlement on the African coast. During this time, under Prince Henry the Navigator's encouragement, the Portuguese explorers started exploring the west coast of Africa. Other factors such as economic and political goals, missionary zeal, and the desire to share the gospel of Christ with unevangelized Africans were also a driving force. Under the direction of another Portuguese noble and explorer, who was known as Dom Diogo de Azambuja, the Portuguese built their first church in the area of Elmina on the Gold Coast in current-day Ghana in the year 1482. The chief of Elmina adopted the Christian faith. The Elmina chief's decision was mostly driven by the prospect of financial benefit and the acquisition of land for the construction of a church and a castle honoring Saint George. Saint George was an early Christian martyr in the Middle East. This evangelism strategy usually excluded non-Portuguese missionaries. This caused Portuguese interests to be protected even by missionaries rather than by the religious authorities. Also, the Portuguese government provided large portions of funding for these expeditions. This caused Africans to accept Christianity for other dubious reasons, such as native chiefs doing so in exchange for Portuguese security. And also, the Portuguese provided education opportunities for Africans who converted to Christianity. Catholic Church played an instrumental role in establishing Christianity in Africa. Roman Catholics can be members of religious orders such as the Order of St. Francis, the Order of St. Dominic or St. Augustine, and they'll be known as Franciscans, Dominicans, and Augustinians. This is going to be coming up a lot in this episode. In 1462, Pope Pius, who was an Italian humanist and smart politician, gave the Franciscans under the leadership of Alfonso di Bolano the task of evangelizing the Guinea coast. The mission of Guinea was reliant on that of Cape Verde, where a bishopric was later established in 1553. Records show that Dominicans and other groups were present in West Africa by 1486, particularly among the Wolof in Senegambia. Behenti, who was the chief of the Wolof, converted to Christianity together with his 25 friends. Again, political reasons were a major factor here. In 1485, upon the monarch's request, a church was established in Benin. The mission in Benin, which was occasionally maintained by Sao Tome, which was declared a bishopric, merely withered away. Systematic evangelism of the Congo started in the year 1490 under the leadership of Franciscans, secular priests, and canons secular of St. John the Evangelist. The first Christian king of the Kingdom of Congo and his son were baptized together. His son's name was Nzinga Enkulu, who was later given the baptismal name Dom Juel. The Kingdom of Congo was a former West Central African kingdom that is now part of the Democratic Republic of Congo and Angola. A church was later constructed in its capital, São Salvador. This led to the establishment of a truly Christian monarchy, which was styled after Portugal. Under King Alfonso's rule in this area, Christianity expanded. King Alfonso is occasionally referred to as the Apostle of Congo for his part in establishing Congo as a Christian kingdom. However, he ran into issues with the Congo-based Portuguese community about how they handled the Atlantic trade, particularly the slave trade. Alfonso set up administration of the slave trade to prevent people from being forcibly enslaved and transported. During the first part of the 16th century, evangelism started on the East African coast, especially in Mozambique. After the King of Monemutapa's baptism in 1561, there was a significant push towards the Catholic Church. Monemutapa was the Kingdom of Mutapa and sometimes referred to as the Mutapa Empire, which was a kingdom between modern-day Zimbabwe and Mozambique. After this, the Mozambican mission reported 20,000 Catholics by the year 1591. The Dominicans once more launched fresh evangelizing initiatives in Monemutapa throughout the 17th century. They built a seminary and a college there. The country of Sierra Leone was converted to Christianity in the 17th century. This was led by a team of Jesuit missionaries and Spanish influence. This led to Italian missionaries setting up their missions in Congo. The Danes and the Dutch also dispatched missionaries in West Africa and the Cape Colony, which is current-day South Africa. Missionaries from Portugal, Spain, and Italy spread Christianity throughout pre-colonial Nigeria's Benin, Niger Delta, and Wari regions between 1480 and 1807. Despite initial success, including the construction of the first church in Elmina and the conversion of the local chiefs to Christianity, the Portuguese missions faced numerous challenges. This included insufficient man and funding to conflicts with indigenous populations and tropical diseases. In the 16th century, the Portuguese Franciscans and Dominicans conducted some early missionary work in Madagascar, but their efforts were not successful. Other initiatives were made, but the French Revolution ended all missionary activity on the island. Factors like slave trade, limited resources, and cultural misunderstandings contributed to the decline of the Portuguese mission in East Africa in the 18th century. Following the end of slave trade, Sierra Leone and Liberia served as African birthplaces of contemporary missions. Liberated slaves were housed in these regions after their release, which gave an opportunity to Christian missionaries to spread their message. The second missionary effort was successful in establishing mission churches in West Africa. There was establishment of churches like Seventh-day Adventist, United Missionary, Methodist, and Anglican, and many more in these areas. At the end of the 19th century, some African leaders took the initiative to indigenize the faith to a greater extent than that of the European dominance in these mission churches. This was specifically true for Anglican and Roman Catholic churches. The conflict that followed resulted in the establishment of Ethiopian churches, often known as African Independent Churches. Among these are the United Native African Church, the African Church, the United African Methodist Church, and many more that were established in Ghana. These churches placed a strong emphasis on self-expression, native participation in missions, independence, and respect for African cultural heritage in their fight against colonialism. Nonetheless, the churches continued to resemble their parent churches substantially in terms of doctrine and liturgy. The foundation of African indigenous churches, a second attempt was made to rid Christianity in Africa of foreign cultural imperialism. These included churches such as Church of the Lord, the Celestial Church of Christ, the Christ Apostolic Church, and the Cherubim and Seraphim Church in Nigeria. More indigenous churches were established in South Africa, in Kenya, and many more other African countries. Despite its challenges and shortcomings, the Portuguese period laid the groundwork for future missionary efforts in Africa. It set the stage for the waves of evangelism by European and American missionaries, marking the beginning of a complex and enduring relationship between Christianity and the African continent. Now, the answer to the question, is Christianity a product of colonialism in Africa, is a resounding no. On the African continent, as we have learned, Christianity predates colonization. It is noteworthy, nonetheless, that there was a significant surge in conversions following the start of colonialism, according to conversion statistics. This may be the rationale behind the forced association between Christianity and colonialism put up by some academics. All things considered, it is safe to argue that Christianity in Africa predates colonialism in general. And that's all for today's episode. Be sure to join us again next time. Thank you for tuning in.